We are going to jump in the unveiling of Jesus and future things that are still yet to come in the book of Revelation tomorrow. But we are in Jude today. We wrapped up with Galatians yesterday. Of course, Jude is a chapter, and it's got a lot in that little chapter, no doubt, in 25 verses of Jude. But is there anything anybody wants to give away?
In chapter 4 of Ephesians.
Chapter 4 of Ephesians, or Galatians. Where you at?
Ephesians.
You was in Ephesians.
I was in Ephesians.
All right. Well, tell me what you've seen in Ephesians 4.
It was the putting off.
Yeah. Yeah, of the old man.
Of the old man.
Putting on the new.
Putting on the new.
Yeah, yeah. Being properly clothed, the idea. That's going to be in 4:17 through 24.
Yeah.
I want to say something about the,
being a division. Yeah, well, give me 1 second. Please. Let Brother Shannon, what you see, Brother Shannon?
If this is just a putting off. It was putting off.
Yeah, verse 22.
And then in 24 is the putting off.
Uh-huh.
We have to put off the old man.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to put on the new man.
Yeah.
And then is God created in righteousness and truth holiness.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Yeah, the idea is that, you know, you got to go back up to verse 17 on that, and then you take in everything he's been teaching about this idea of walking. You know, Galatians talks about walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. And here we're talking about verse 17, "This I say, therefore, and testify the Lord, that you should no longer walk." And the idea of walking is living. "You shall no longer live as the rest of the Gentiles." And the Gentiles was a world that didn't have the revelation of God. They didn't have the Word of God. They didn't have the message of God. They were the nations that were without God. They were without hope in the world. And he says, you don't walk like them in the futility of your mind. That is, their mind was corrupt. Their understanding was darkened, and they were alienated, verse 18, from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Their heart has to be changed. For a changed heart gives you eyes to see, gives you the perceptions that come from God. Then you can begin to think with things that God reveals to you, his truth to you. And then you can live by that which he reveals, the truth that he reveals. So he's saying that you don't want to model, you don't want to live like, you don't want to walk like, you don't want to think like how you used to live and think, the way the rest of the world around you lives and thinks. He says, verse 19, "They are past feeling." They go by experience. The things they experienced in life, the things they've learned in this world. We see everything they've learned in this world has been without God. That's what they live by. Having them giving themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That is simply, that's how the entire world lives. They don't think it's lewd. Remember, it seems right to them. They don't think it's lewd. We will see that it's lewd. That's why Ephesians 5 says that we are children of the light, put on the light, and you will expose the deeds of darkness. They don't see that. Verse 20, "But we have not so learned." If we've learned from Christ, we haven't learned that. Christ doesn't teach us that, is the idea. Verse 21, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in" who? It's in Jesus. "That you put off, be unclothed with that way of living concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your... Okay, this is saying the same thing Romans 12, 1 and 2 is saying. That you, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. What? Be not conformed to this world like the Gentiles, but what? Be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. So the putting off and putting on is that you're not learning the ways of the world that you were accustomed to. You have a whole new way of learning now. You have a whole new way of living. You have a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of walking. And for you to put that garment on, you have to come to the right tailor. You got to go visit the right shop. You got to go see the right one who will renew your mind, because he's got to renew your mind. If he transforms your heart, makes you a new creature, now your mind has to be constantly renewed. And when he's teaching you how to put on the right clothing now, how to clothe yourself in this world, now he's going to teach you that so that you can walk through this world and look like the kingdom of God and not the Gentile world that you were accustomed to now live among. So that's the idea here, is the renewing of the spirit of the mind, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true holiness and righteousness, or true righteousness and holiness. And remember, that's what Luke tells us. He come to deliver us from the hand of our enemy. All this in the Gentile world is our enemy. Galatians says he's plucked us out of it. Titus said he's redeemed us from that wickedness within that had us so corrupted. Now that we can see God, now that we can hear from him, learn from him, now we can look like him and dress like him in this world. Talking about our character.
Amen.
Okay. So the idea is you no longer live like the world you're part of.
Right.
At one point in time, you knew no different.
Yeah.
But now you know a difference.
Amen.
Now you know a different one. And therefore, he changes how you live. And that means you got to keep coming to him, right?
Amen.
And present yourself to him,
right,
as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. So when you read that, you tie that over to Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And then the rest of 12 is going to tell you about how to conduct yourself, put on love, rejoice in the trials and the troubles and the joys that come along with that. You don't have to operate. You don't have to act like everybody on the job does when news comes. You don't have to respond to people when they mistreat you like everybody else does on the job, because you're working for someone else now, though you want to benefit the people you're working with and for in what you're doing for them, but you do it in a different way. And that's because you're putting on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Romans 5 tells us you're going to have to go through some affliction and trouble, because you're going to need some wisdom, and you're not going to have solutions. So you're going to go to God for it. He's going to renew your mind. He's going to teach you perseverance and patience, how to go through it. And then now the character of Jesus is starting to manifest out of your life. And now he's building a hope in you that'll never disappoint. And you're learning, and you're constantly learning. So the whole scripture, all the New Testament, including the old, everything is coming to its consummation in these principles of putting off and putting on. You don't have to live that away no more. You don't have to act that away no more. You don't have to think that away anymore. You have a whole new system of thinking. And now, remember we talked about Sunday night, you're an ambassador.
Yeah.
And as an ambassador, you don't represent Ephesus. You don't represent Corinth. You don't represent Rome. You represent the kingdom of God. How does the people in the kingdom, how do they clothe themselves? How do they live in this world and identify with the kingdom? Because clothes identify you with something or somebody.
Yeah.
You can go to certain regions and certain places. Even to this day, you can go to the Northeast, or you can go to the Northwest, or you can go down South Texas, or you can go down to Florida, you can go to Miami, or you can go to Pakistan, or you can go to Afghanistan, or you can go down to Peru, or you can go to China, and you can tell what region or place that are people from by the clothes they wear.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, is that there's garments that people wear that identify them with who they are and who they belong to and the people group that they belong to. Well, that's the idea, is that he delivered us from the hand of our enemy, and he delivered us unto himself that we might serve him in righteousness and holiness all the days of our life.
Yeah.
Remember, he takes us from something, but he delivers us to something. And that's what Paul is making an emphasis on. You once were part of them. He's taking you out, but when he takes you out, he puts you in something. When he plucks you from, he places you in a new way of living. And that's what Galatians was telling us, the same thing about walking. And we need God's grace. We need God's truth. We need God's power. We need God's spirit. We need all those things to help us walk in that. And so, yes, that is a fundamental truth to glean. It's telling us everything that Galatians told us. It's telling us what Romans is teaching. Remember, Romans 1 through 11 is the teaching of all that has been accomplished in the grace and the mercy of Christ Jesus. And you get it in the chapter 12. He says, now you know this. This is how you live it out. And the rest of Romans is telling us how to live out what we know, and how this is transforming us from within by changing how we think about life, how we think about ourselves, how we think about God, how we think about people, how we think about everything. We want heaven's perspective on it. And that's that putting off and putting on, putting off and putting on. So you cannot understand these passages here in their fullness without knowing Romans 12, 1 and 2. Philippians says the same thing. Look in Philippians 1 real quick. Go over a couple books, one book really. Philippians 1. Yeah, Philippians 1. When you're in Ephesians, just go over one book, you'll be in Philippians. If you get to Colossians, you went too far. Philippians 1, this is why Paul prayed. This is what he prayed for. Look in verse number 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound, expand, grow more and more in what?
Knowledge.
That's that renewing what? Of the mind. That it renews, that your mind is being renewed. And as your mind's renewed, it is growing. Your love is going to be expanding. It's going to be stretching. Because remember, knowledge without love will only what? Puff you up. Make you arrogant. But if you have love meted out with it, you then take the mind of God, and now the heart of God is actually at work, working through you, and you show compassion with the conviction that you're holding. So you want an expanding, abounding love, that your love will grow more and more in knowledge and judgment. And the idea of judgment is discernment. You're discerning. That's how you're able to make a judgment on what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's not, what's of God and what's not of God. So you can't make those adequate discerning judgments if your love is not growing in knowledge. See, that's that what? Renewing of the mind. It has to be renewed. Well, your mind won't be renewed unless you're giving yourself over to the Lord through his mercies from day to day. Amen? That's what he says. Present yourself unto the Lord. If you're not giving yourself over to the Lord every day, continually, your love is not going to be expanding. And if it's not expanding with knowledge, you won't have discernment. And you won't be able to know what the kingdom of God is clothed like. You won't be able to put those garments on because you're not being what? Renewed in your mind. Now, why is this important? Verse number 10. It's important so that you can approve That's the same word that Romans 12:2 says, to prove what is that good and acceptable will. You have to be able to validate that that's God's will there. And notice how he does it here, though. He doesn't call it the good, acceptable, and perfect will. He calls it what? That which is excellent. That's right. Pick up on that. That's what he calls it. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent. That's that good and acceptable and perfect will. You and I have been given the ability, when we're being properly clothed, that is, we being renewed in mind, to determine what is the excellent will of God in your life. You've been given that as you are growing. You stop growing, you lose that ability. You stop growing, and if you stop growing, that means you stop presenting yourself. And if you stop presenting yourself, that means you're not yoked to Jesus. Remember, when you're yoked to Jesus, what does he do? He gives you rest in your soul. That's the thing. You come into him. You yoke up to him. You putting on his garments for his work. So I'm going to read verse 10 again, that you may approve the things that are excellent, so that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus to the glory and praise of God. That's exactly what Ephesians 4 said when he says that you're being clothed and you're serving him in that what? Righteousness and holiness. That is, you are able to prove what is excellent. You're authentic. You're blameless. And you're filled up with the fruits of God. And what are those fruits? You know, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. All those things will be flowing out of your life, Brother Shannon. Amen. Because you're what? You're being renewed. And as you're renewed, you can discern what is right, what is God's, and what's not. Now you are authentic in your representation of the kingdom. You're blameless before the throne of God, so God's favor is working upon you and through you as you're living this out by faith. He's filling you up with himself, and that fruit is being manifested to the brethren as you walk through this world and you're edifying and lifting up. You're not looking like the Gentile world. You're filled up with the Spirit.
Amen.
You have fruit. Now, if you're not presenting yourself, you're not being renewed. And if you're not being renewed, your love's not expanding. And if your love's not expanding, you're not an authentic representation. You're not blameless in the sense in your conduct upon this world, and you're not going to be filled up with the fruits of righteousness. You follow with me? Why this is so important to put off and put on the new? Amen? That's why you got to be clothed right, and that's the idea. You cannot separate Romans 12:1-2, Ephesians 4, Philippians 1, the book of Galatians, Romans, the whole scriptures. They all come together in these principles of having to be renewed in your mind every day. And that's where the more we glean, the more you realize, man, I need Jesus. And I need Jesus renewing me. I need him speaking to me. Because if he's not renewing me and speaking to me, I'm like David, who said way back when, but he had a heart after God, he said, God, if I'm not hearing from you from day to day, I'm as useless as a dead man upon the earth. And he's saying, I have nothing of eternal value. I'm not filled up with your fruit. I'm actually not blameless. I'm actually creating trouble for people around me. And I'm not an authentic representation of you, because I can't determine your will in this world that I live in, and you want me to. And you've made it possible through Jesus that I can live this away. Amen? Amen? So that's how that fits. Tell us about that. Help, Brother Shannon. We're going to run out of time tonight, but that's where Jude wrote that letter. When you think about it, I've shared with y'all before, the occasion of the letter was certain men have crept in unnoticed, though they had been spoken about previously, but because people didn't know what the word said, they never recognized it when it came in.
Yeah.
That's why the importance of the word, like these things you're talking about, have been going on for years and years and years and years and years, And this ain't been something that's happened overnight. They've allowed these things just to infiltrate and did their best to accept it and put God's seal of approval on it, but you can't. And that Jude is saying that these even in that day, back then, these deceivers had crept in, and he uses that term in Jude 1. He says, I believe, he tells us, verse number 3, Beloved, while I was very eager, diligent, I wanted to write to you about our common salvation. I wanted to talk to you about all the common things we have in the Lord and what we just talked about tonight already. That's what he's saying he wanted to talk about. He said, but I found it necessary to write exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. And this is what he says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. He refers to them as ungodly men who have turned the grace, the redeeming grace of Jesus, into lewdness and deny our only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. They denounce him, stand against him, stand opposed to him in the things they teach. They go against what he taught. Yeah. And so the occasion was certain men have crept in. The purpose of the letter was to contend for the faith that they were to contend for. And the idea is to wrestle with, to war with. It's like a declaration of war. Now, our battles are not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But he's saying that this should have never happened. It did happen. Now, what are we to do since it has happened? Now he gives, in the book, he's going to lay out this idea of ungodliness, and ungodliness simply living without God, doing things without God, walking without God, thinking without God. He's going to list examples that he's going to give. He gives three examples of wickedness with Israel, and then Sodom and Gomorrah, and then the angels who left their domain. Then he's going to give some experiences that we see of worthlessness as you walk through these things. For an example, with Cain and Balaam and Korah, each one of them were sons of Belial. They were worthless in the sense that they had no kingdom value whatsoever. And he talks about going in a way, running greedily in error, and perishing in rebellion. And then he's going to give, I got ahead of myself on that expressions of worthlessness. That's going to deal with in the next section, but you dealing with these warnings of these people that are walking in it, and their worthlessness is manifested when he gives the illustrations in nature, like the clouds without rain and the rifts that were under the water, the spots in the love feast, and trees without fruit. Basically saying these people promise a lot, but there's no fruitfulness of the kingdom of God ever manifested out of their life. And that is something that we've all experienced. We've seen clouds come through that looked promising was going to rain on us, but never did drop a drop of water, had no water in them. You come up on the tree that's supposed to bear fruit, but it doesn't bear any fruit. And then you have those spots in your love feast that's like a rock. If you was out on a shallow ground out there and you was in your boat and you didn't know they had rocks up underneath, and you rode your boat up on it and it damaged your hull on you and sink you. Keith, you've been on the water. A lot of us been on the water before, and you're always cautious of where you're pulling into. You like going through a channel or something that's well marked, but you get in some places where there's stumps and there's debris or piling or something you didn't know, and you come up on it, you turn your boat over, damage your boat, damage your prop on it. That's the picture. It was like that under the surface, it was corruption. But they were able to blend in. and go unnoticed. But the Bible's been telling us about them for a long time.
Amen.
But because they wasn't in the position for a renewing of their mind, see, that's where this knowledge comes in. If you throw away knowledge and all you do is welcome everything, all you're going to do is get rottenness within there. So you got to have what? You got to have the unction of God's Spirit, and you got to have understanding of the truth. You got to have love and knowledge. Both of them have to be growing so that you can help people that are rotten and corrupt and not just allow them to do their own thing. And that's where these denominations have been and why they're in such trouble now, is because this junk has been going on for so long, and now it's polluted the whole well. And they're trying to do something about it, and it's so polluted under the surface that it's going to take a radical move for it to actually separate themselves from it. It's going to cost something in that. So you see these things, and that's what this does. It explains to us who they are, explains to us what they do, explains to us what they act like, and then it gets to what we must do. And that is, when you get to verse number 20, he says, "Brethren, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." That's what? Being renewed, right?
Amen.
In the mind. You're not going to get away from it. Praying in the Holy Spirit. That is, you're being led by God to things to pray for and to talk to God about. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus unto eternal life. So there's three things how we keep ourselves in the, and I use the phrase, unhindered flow. That's what you want to look. The unhindered flow of God's love. You want to keep yourselves in an unhindered flow of God's love. How do you do that? You got to build yourself up. You got to be renewed every day. That's what that idea is. Being renewed. You got to pray.
Amen.
You got to be prayed that are led of God, not praying what we want. Remember, James said, if you pray amiss, you don't have what you pray for. So you got to pray according to the will of God. You want God to be leading you. But if you're not being renewed, you don't know what to pray for. Why? Because you don't have discernment. And you can't choose what is excellent or good, acceptable, and perfect. And then looking for the mercy of the Lord, for the promises of God. That's how we keep ourselves in the unhindered flow of God's love. You're building, you're praying, you're looking. It's how you live. You're growing in grace. You're praying to the glory of God, and you're looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. These things is what grace teaches us. How to what? Say no to us and say yes to Jesus. How to live and how to love in this world. That's how you keep yourself in the unhindered flow of the love of God. And then he goes on to say, look, he tells us in verse 24, now to him who is able to what? What's 24 say? Man, now to him who is able to keep you. So even in our keeping ain't keeping us. Who's keeping us? We got a keeper keeping us. Amen. You see, that's why you want him to build you. That's why you're praying to him. That's why you're looking for him. He's your keeper, and he's going to keep you. You're not going to keep yourself. He's going to keep you. You keep your eye on him, and he keeps you. He's our keeper, and he will present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion, and power both now and forever. Amen?
Amen.
So each one of these help us out. These examples he gives us, these experiences he brings to light, you know, dealing with Cain. What was the thing about Cain?
He killed his brother.
Cain killed his brother. Why did he kill his brother?
Because
there was animosity in his spirit. Remember, God wouldn't accept Cain's offering, right? Cain wanted his offering to be accepted, but God told him how to be accepted. It was by faith, by believing. Sin was at the door waiting. It's going to pounce on you, take advantage of you.
Just change.
You trust me.
It'll be okay.
And that goes back to God accepted Abel, so he accepted what Abel offered. He didn't accept Cain, so he wouldn't accept what Cain offered.
Right.
Cain is that picture of I did something. Look at what I did. Look at what I grew. Look at me. And God says, no, I want you to look at me.
Right.
Cain wouldn't look at God because he wanted God to look at him. I did something. Then you get to Balaam. Balaam is that picture of somebody says, I desire something. What is that? He wanted money.
Yeah.
So he did what he was doing for money, for wealth. He went in error, the scripture says. I desire something. So he was willing to compromise truth for something that he desired. Cain says, I did something. Balaam says, I desire something that ain't in the will of God. And then you have Korah. What did Korah do? Korah rebelled against Moses and said, Moses, you are no better than anybody else. Anybody can do what you've been, what you do. Get out the way and let us do it. Korah represents, I deserve something. I deserve the gratification and the attention that Moses, everybody's given you. I want it. And he rebelled. And the scripture says he perished. What did God do? God told Moses to take his rod. Let me borrow this if you don't mind, Miss Barbara. You remember Moses had the rod that came to life and budded. God told Moses to take his rod. The next morning they went out and they all stood out. And Moses said, today God's going to determine who he's chosen. Scripture says the earth opened up like an earthquake, split, and Korah and Dothan and Abiram and 250 other people who stood with them, who were telling Moses that he thought he was holier than everybody else and that all them could do what he could do. The scripture says when the earth opened up, all those men fell in that hole and then it closed up right behind them. It's that picture of him saying, I deserve more respect and more reputation and more honor. And that's where later on down, Korah's grandson says, we would rather be a doorkeeper if that's the calling God has on our life than anything else. We don't have to be out in front like Moses was. Like our grandfather said, we want to be like Moses. Couldn't accept what God called him to. I deserve more. I desire more. I've done more. You see that picture? One is a way. One you run toward. The other one is you perish in. And when you think about Jesus, he's just the opposite. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You go with Jesus, you're in the way. When you stay with Jesus, you're not going to be in error with Balaam. And if you stay with Jesus, you're not going to perish like Korah. You're going to have life. Amen.
Amen.
That's the picture there. That's the contrast of righteousness and godliness is the difference there in those things. So these examples of Sodom and Gomorrah, these examples of Israel that perished in the wilderness, and the examples of the angels who said that in pride rebelled with Satan against the Lord, all of them perished. They all had a standing at one point, but perished because they wanted something more. And they felt like they deserved something more. And therefore they ran after it with no restraint and they all perished in it. And he's saying these people that crept in, we've got testimony after testimony that has been marked out. Amen. Of what would happen. Enoch, remember Enoch, what was his testimony? Hebrews 11 says Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God what? Took him. The next statement says that was his testimony, that Enoch pleased God. That's Hebrews 11:5. 11:6 says that it's impossible to please God apart from faith. And then it goes into Noah. Noah was a man who was moved by fear because of the word that God spoke to him. He believed it, prepared an ark. And the scripture says that by faith, Noah condemned the world he lived in when he stood for God. Amen. He said everybody else was going wrong. Everybody else lived wrongly that ain't lining up with God. You see, and the problems we're seeing in these denominations and these churches around that are saying that it's okay to allow all this stuff to go on are not standing with what God's already said.
Amen.
And you say, when you stand with God, that's what Hebrews 11, by faith Noah stood with God, and by faith he condemned the world who wouldn't trust in God, who wouldn't believe in him, wouldn't do it his way. He condemned. And that's the picture here. Enoch, along with Noah, said that God had condemned all ungodly living, all ungodly thinking, and all ungodly ways. And one day God's going to judge all these ungodly thinking and ways. So he stood with God when he walked with God. And because he walked by faith, he pleased him.
Amen.
And when you walk by faith and please God, it's an automatic condemnation on everything that doesn't walk with God. We live in a world that, in a church that says, man, we got to be careful about condemnation. When we do, we have liberty and freedom in Christ, but it's not a liberty and freedom to do as we please, right? Jude is obvious on that. We don't deny the Lord Jesus. We run to the Lord Jesus. But when you stand with Jesus and you stand with that exclusivity, you automatically condemn everything that doesn't stand with him, whether you say one word about it or not. Because Jesus condemned all ungodly living. That's why he died on the cross.
Yeah.
If he didn't think it was ungodly, he would have never died on the cross. And he died to what? Deliver us from that. Amen?
Amen.
And to deliver us to his service. So we give him the praise for it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father, we thank you, bless you. We ask you to help us with these things. And we do pray for our sisters and brothers around the world and in different denominations and groups of people that stand for you and with you. And we're grateful for their stand. We ask you to help them through it and meet their needs in it. And that as your word gives us warnings of many things, that we too would heed these warnings and pay attention to what is around us and where we go and what we do and how we say a thing. And Lord, that you, by your grace, use us as we started off the service, that you would renew our mind, that we can approve the things that are excellent, that we can be properly clothed with the garments of heaven and be sincere ambassadors, blameless servants, and that we be filled with the fruits of your righteousness unto the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us with these things. Help us with these things. Help us help our neighbor and our brother out as we walk with you. And maybe we never be ashamed of you as we do it. And we're going to praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Love y'all. Y'all have a good night.